All right, we're going to begin here. Six lines down, Adaf Lamed Gimon of Aleph. Amar Rav Acha Bar Yaakov. Rav Acha Bar Yaakov now is going to bring the position that was stated by Rav Shimon ben Lakish yesterday. And based on that position, he's going to try to extrapolate Rav Shimon ben Lakish to teach us a new din. What Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish told us yesterday is, Shachatat HaKanev, someone does Shechita on the windpipe. V'acha Kach Nikva Reya, after that Shechita of the windpipe, the lungs became problematic. They got a hole in them. They were punctured, which would otherwise be a trefa. Nevertheless, they're ksheira. Because since you have severed the windpipe, which is the life force of the lungs, at that point in time, you've now made the lungs irrelevant to the shechita or the tarfut of this animal. Once the shechita is done on the windpipe, those parts that are dependent on the windpipe now are considered to be as if they were taken out of the animal. They don't exist anymore. As long as they were not trefot before, they cannot become trefot at that moment in time. Even though there's still more to the process of shechita, which is to cut the veshet, to cut the esophagus. Nevertheless, as soon as you cut the life force to that area through the process of shechita, that makes it as if they don't exist anymore. So based on that, Rav Acha ben Yaakov says, Shema minami Rav Shimon Lakish, let us extrapolate from that statement of Shimon Lakish, Mizamni Yisrael b'nei me'ayim, v'im mizamnim ovdei kochavim b'nei me'ayim. If one was to remove the intestines from the animal after shechita, but prior to the death of the animal, and the animal was still moving around, was still shaking, but it already had gone through the process of shechita, then a Jew can partake of those intestines that were taken at that point in time, because they're not classified as being Eiver Min HaChai. On the other hand, the Oved Kochavim may not partake of those B'nei Me'ayim, because he still hasn't got rid of the problem of Eiver Min HaChai. And now he explains his position. My time, what's the reason here? Yisrael, the B'shechita Talya Milta, when it comes to Yisrael, the only thing that matters when it comes to animal is shechita. Shechita is the matir for a Jew to eat from this animal. Kevin to eat shechita al yoto. As soon as you have a kosher shechita, ishtaridu. Everything comes mutar. We remove all isurim associated with this animal. On the other hand, ovik chavim diminichira sagilu by ovik chavim. They do not require shechita. They can even do nechira. And what is the matir for an ovik chavim? That is the fact that it's mital talya milta, only once the animal dies. So otherwise, until it dies, they'll be classified as being an Eiver Min HaChai for them because the animal has yet to die. So the basic distinction, this relates to something that we discussed in the introduction to the Masechta, and that is, what is Shechita? How does Shechita function? Over there, we spoke about the two possibilities, was either that it's a mitzvah, Shechita is a mitzvah by itself, or we spoke about Shechita being a matir, that it permits one to eat the animal because it removes Isurim that exist. We spoke about two Isurim over there. One Isur is Eiver Min HaChai. The other Isur possibly is what something calls Eino Zavuach, something that was yet to be shechted. The Shechita here be matir such an item. So what the suggestion of Rachem Yaakov is that the Shechita over here makes the animal equivalent to being dead. Or basically it's a matir. The Shechita over here is matir. The animal gets rid of the problem of Eiver Min HaChai, gets rid of the problem of Eino Zavuach, and therefore the Jew can partake of the whole animal even though it hasn't, quote-unquote, completely died. On the other hand, when it comes to the Oved Kochavim doesn't have that right or that heter of Shechita. The only way he's mutar to eat is he does either proper Nechira, or he may somehow make sure that the animal's dead. For him to remove the Yisur Eiver Min HaChai, there's only one choice. The animal would be dead. Until the animal is dead, there will be a problem of Eiver Min HaChai. That the threshold from when the changeover is from life to death. At that point in time is when it changes from being Eiver Min HaChai to Eiver Min HaMeit. Therefore, if he takes out something before the animal is completely dead, it's still shaking around, that'll be considered as if he took off an Eiver Min HaChai, and it would be problematic. If he ate it or consumed it, he'd be in violation of the Isur of Eiver Min HaChai. On the other hand, for the Jew, since Shechita is the matir over here, it makes it mutar for him to eat, everything else becomes irrelevant. So therefore, he can get rid of the Isur of Eiver Min HaChai and get rid of the Isur of Eino Zavuach through Shechita, and you don't have to wait for the death of the animal because you have a vehicle by which to do that. Shechita. Shechita is the matir, irrespective of what happens to the animal. Somehow the animal will be able to live after the point of Shechita in a theoretical sense. It wouldn't matter because Shechita makes it as if he is dead from that point in time or really mutar for the Israel to consume.
Rashi here mentions that the B'nai Me'ayim that we're speaking about are the lungs, like we had mentioned before in the position of Reish Lakish. Other Rishonim disagree and say the B'nai Me'ayim that we're speaking about over here include the intestines and other areas inside, meaning if he had severed the veshet, he'd also have the same din with regards to the B'nai Me'ayim. Tosfot actually discussed this in yesterday's daf in Rabbi Zeira's position when he had challenged Reish Lakish's statement yesterday. Just so you should be aware that there is a makloket rishonim when we're talking about the bnei ma'ayim over here, exactly what we're talking about, that should be mutar before the death. It's just the lungs. It includes the intestines, it includes anything that is in the innards of the animal. But that is subject to a makloket rishonim.
So now, Amar Rav Papa, Hava Yotivna Kameid Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, I said in front of Yaakov when he made this suggestion, I wanted to say to him at that time, Mika Mida Yisrael Shari Lovid Kachavim Asur, is there such a concept or an instance where for Yisrael it'll be Mutar, and Ovid Kachavim will be Asur? Seems somewhat counterintuitive, illogical. If we're given many more mitzvot and many more Yisurim, how could we be that we come up with a scenario where it actually is working the opposite, where the Ovid Kachavim has stricter laws and the Jew has more lenient laws? This is a question that's also posed in the Gemara and Sanhedrin with regards to anything that is unique to an Ovid Kachavim is doesn't seem to be applicable to us. Us of the Kachavim are not relevant or mutar for the Israel. In all those cases, the Gemara asks this question, about this imbalance. V'lo Amrile, but Rapova says, I did not query him. I did not ask him about this. Damina ha'taima kamar. He gave good reasoning for his position, this distinction between the Ovid Kachavim and the Jew. He gives a very good explanation for it. Now the Gemara continues and says, Tanya d'lok Rav Acha b'Yaakov. We have a braita that argues on this position of Rav Acha b'Yaakov. Someone who wants to eat from an animal before it's completely dead. He takes out a kazayit, an olive's worth of flesh from the area of where the shechita is done. Because in that area you don't need to flay the animal, you don't have to clean it out. You can quickly take out a piece of meat right away. Then you have to salt it very carefully. And then you have to rinse it off very carefully. Then you wait until the animal dies. And then you can eat it. It's irrelevant whether it's a Jew or a non-Jew, whether it's an Ovid Kachavim or Yisrael. You're permitted to eat from it right away. So over here you say that they don't have this distinction of Rav Acha Bar Yaakov. Rav Acha Bar Yaakov's distinction was, well, whereas Shechita gets that bonus where Eiver Min HaChai is removed earlier. But when someone is not Nitztaver, doesn't have the concept of Shechita, then he doesn't have that bonus. But here we have a Braita saying just the opposite, that when you take out the Basar before the animal dies, that would otherwise be classified as Eiver Min HaChai. If it's an Eiver Min HaChai, you would never be able to consume it. But the fact here that we equate the Ovid Kachavim to Yisrael, and that once you take out the meat, which otherwise should be Eiver Min HaChai, but now it's not being classified as Eiver Min HaChai because the Shechita is already done. If that's the case, you see that Shechita works equally for a Jew as well as it does for a non-Jew. The reason you have to wait for the animal to die here is technical, because whatever you took out would have been otherwise classified as Eiver Min HaChai if Shechita was not efficacious. The reason you have to wait if Shetetze Nafsha is because Rashi mentions over here, V'yachol l'chotko miyad kodem yitziyat ha'nevesh, u'mamtim la'at Shetetze Nafsha, you have to wait until it dies before you eat it. Tamrina b'arba mitot, we said in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, minayin shasur d'chol mene b'na'a kodem Shetetze Nafsha. How do you know there's an isur that one may not consume from an animal before it actually dies? It's one of the many things that's learned out of this love, that one may not eat while the dam is still there, while the dam and nefesh is still there. You have to wait until the animal is completely dead, and then you can eat the basar. But you also will not have a classification of Eiver Min HaChai. Shechita is good enough to remove the isurim over here, the isur of Eiver Min HaChai, maybe the isur of Einu Zavuach. What it can't do is make the animal dead. The animal is not completely dead. It's a matir. A matir removes Yisurim. Dead removes the problem of being alive. And when it comes to Lotuchol Adam, the only thing that's relevant to us is whether the animal is dead, not whether you did Shechita at that point. The braita that we just brought, not only is it not approved to Racha Yaakov, but it's Misaile Rav Yidir Ba'avin. Helps out the position of Rav Yidir Ba'avin. The Amar Rav Yidir Ba'avin, Amar Rav Yitzchak Bar Ashiyan, or Rotzei Shiyavri. Someone wants to be very healthy. Chotei Kazai Basami Beta Shechita. Shkitata, he takes out a kazayit basar from the area where you did the shkita, shel beima. Again, that's easy to do, you can do it quickly. Umocho yafe yafe, you have to salt it very carefully. Umidicho yafe yafe, and you have to rinse it off very carefully. Umamtim lad shetetze nafsha, then you wait till the animal is completely dead. Echad ovid kachavim vechad Yisrael mutarim bo. And at that point in time, it becomes mutar both for Jews and non-Jews. So again, that equates to what we saw in the Braita. And therefore, the Braita will be a support for his position. Both the Braita and Rav Yidir Ba'avin do not hold the distinction that was drawn by Rav Yaakov Yaakov, the distinction between Shechita and Death or Mita. Now this Shita, or this Sad that says there's no distinction between Ovid Kachavim and Yisrael, you would have to suggest that Shechita is a Matir in the sense that it gets rid of Eiver Min HaChai. Shechita makes the animal as if it's dead at that point immediately. Doesn't matter if it's for a Jew or a non-Jew, Shechita, as the Torah tells us, that's considered to be when the animal's dead. If it flops around afterwards, that's not considered to be alive anymore. And the Shkita is that moment of distinction applied equally to the Yisrael as well as the Ovid Kochavim. On the other hand, somebody like Rav Acha ben Yaakov will say no. Maybe Shkita has a greater role. Either there's a mitzvah Shkita, that would only be applicable to an Yisrael. Or if the Shkita is a matir, maybe it's a matir for the part of Enu Zavuach. But that would only be, again, applicable to a Jew. A Jew is nitztave on Shkita as an Yisrael of Enu Zavuach. Therefore, he requires the Shkita to remove it. A goy who doesn't have that won't be relevant in terms of Shkita. And even if you believe that Shkita is matir for Eivir Min HaChai, but that might only be true by a Jew, because a Jew is commanded in Shkita and has the matir of Shkita, he can remove Eivir Min HaChai. He can consider as if it's dead. On the other hand, the goy who does not have that matir of Shkita, that mitzvah of Shkita, so therefore, the Ovid Kochavim needs absolute death. You want to get rid of the Yisr of Eivir Min HaChai, you got to be dead. On the other hand, Yisrael who has a din in Shkita will not have to wait until the animal is absolutely dead. He just has to get through Shkita, and that will be matir, all the Yisrim that we have here. Start with the new Mishnah. Hashochet beima chayav v'of v'lo yatsa mehen dam. You do a shechita and no blood comes out. Then ksherim, they can be eaten because you did a kosher shechita. You did everything you needed with the shechita. V'nechalim beyadayim musovot. But you're allowed to also eat them with hands that have tuma on them, because what you did not have here is shalui shalo hukshru v'dam. There was no hechsher the kabel tuma over here. Normally the blood that comes out of the shechita is machsher the basar to be mekabel tuma. Over here, there was no dam to be makshir, the basar to be mekabel tuma. Therefore, the shechita is fine, because you don't require blood for the shechita. Shechita is the process of cutting through the simanim that you did. On the other hand, if there isn't any heksher, the kabel tuma, so then you can eat it with even tamei hands. Rabbi Shimon Omer, ukhshiru b'shechita. Shechita itself, the fact that shechita makes this into something that is mutar ba'achila, that by definition already makes it mukshir, the kabel tuma. And we'll see the position of Rabbi Shimon later on in the Gemara. Now Gemara says, Taima de lo yatsa mehen dam. The reason here is that the blood didn't come out. Ha yatsa mehen dam. Had blood come out in this instance, ein nechalim b'yadayim musavot. They would not have been eaten by tamei hands. Well, let's understand this. Amai, yadayim shniotain. Anytime you have a gzera on hands that they are tamei, these are gzerot chachamim, that the hands are tamei, chachamim established that they would be a sheni l'tuma. That's the status of yadayim. Stam yadayim are sheni l'tuma. And many other institutions, the Chachamim, that make the Yadayim Tmeim, making the Sheni L'tuma. Ve'ein Sheni Oseh Shlishi B'chulin. The last level of Tuma that is relevant by Chulin is Sheni L'tuma. Well, if your hands are Sheni L'tuma, why should it matter whether you handle the meat? Whether it's Mukhsha the Kabul Tuma or not Mukhsha the Kabul Tuma, your handling of the meat should have no relevance, because you're taking a Sheni L'tuma that's touching Chulin. And Chulin, there is no Shlishi L'tuma. So Mar says, Umimayit B'chulin Askinin. Why are you so sure that we're dealing with Chulin over here? Why? Because Diktani Chaya. And here we said Chaya, Of, and Behema. Chaya by Kodshim is not relevant. Dilu Kodoshim, Chaya B'Kodoshim, Miiko. There is no such concept of a Chaya and Kodoshim. The only things that can be brought in Kodoshim are Behemot and Ofot. Chaya, irrelevant. So obviously we're not talking about a case of Kodoshim here. Vitu, and another reason we can't be talking about Kodoshim is the fact that our Mishnah says when no blood comes out that they're totally fine, well, that's great by Chulin, but by Kodoshim, who atzma l'dam hu tzarich? The whole purpose of bringing an animal for Kodoshim is to sprinkle the dam al mizbeach. If there's no blood there, then what have you accomplished? You don't have any zrikat adam. Vitu, in addition to that, iba Kodoshim, if we're talking about Kodoshim, ki atzma mehem dam mi machshir, when the blood comes out, does it really machshir something in mekabel tuma? How do I know that dam of kodoshim does not do that? It's not machshir shenemar, because the pasuk says, and we know that the din of hochshir the kabel tuma deals with mayim and other liquids, but it has to be items that are like mayim. So dam is compared to mayim in devarim shenemar la'aretz tishbachenu kamayim. The blood that comes out of the animal, you'll spill it on the ground like water. So we see that dam is equated to water over here, and water is machshir the kabel tumas, so too dam. But that's only true of dam shenishbach kamayim, machshir. Only dam that can be spilled on the floor because you don't need the blood and there's no relevance to the blood, in that case, you could be machshir the kabel tumas because it'll be like mayim. Shenishbach kamayim, on the other hand, blood that cannot be spilled down on the floor because you need the blood, like by kodoshim, over there ain't no machshir. Then the dam won't be machshir because it's not like mayim. If it's not like mayim, it's dam and not like mayim. And then it's no longer considered or classified as a liquid to be machshir the kabel tuma. But two, and an additional question. Iba kodoshim, if you think our mission is speaking about kodoshim, kilo yatsa mehem dam lo mitkashrei. Wait a minute. When the blood doesn't come out, they won't be machshir the kabel tuma. Litkashri dry because of Chivat HaKodesh that we saw earlier in the Masechta, we've seen in other places. It's Vachim HaMinachot. That Chivat HaKodesh, the fact is that Chivat HaKodesh already allows there to be extra Lekabel Tumah even without any liquid being there. The Kaimalon Chivat HaKodesh Makshartan. Chivat Kodesh, it's able to be Makshur, overcome the problem of a lack of a liquid. Our question is clear. The solution, or the first solution, is impossible. So now we're left with this question, and we have to answer it, and we'll have three answers that are going to be attempted to deal with this issue. The issue is that our Mishnah says that you have Yadayim Su Avot, you have Yadayim that are Tmeim, Yadayim in general are a Sheni Lituma, and we're saying you can't touch the Basar had it been Mukhshar Lekabel Tuma. Our Mishnah is talking about a case where it wasn't Mukhshar Lekabel Tuma, but had it been Mukhshar Lekabel Tuma, then we would not permit you to touch it with your hands that are Sheni Lituma. When I ask a basic question, you can't get from Sheni to Tumah Shel Shlishi B'Tumah B'Chulin. Why should it matter that your hands are Tameh Tumat Sheni? So the first solution, which is posed by the Gemara, which is rejected outright, is that maybe our Mishnah is not talking about Chulin. Our Mishnah is talking about Kodashim. So here we had a list of four or five items that show that it can't be Kodashim in our Mishnah. There are too many problems in the Mishnah to indicate it's speaking about Kodashim. It must be speaking about Chulin. Yeah, because of what Shaul asked, the distinction between the Dam is Makshir Lekabel Tumah. Dam Kodeshim is not Makshir Lekabel Tumah. And then you have Chibat Kodesh. Chibat Kodesh relates to the item of Kodesh itself. The Dam Kodeshim, it can be Makshir other items that aren't even Kodesh because it works like Mayim. It's identical to Mayim. But the fact is, Dam Kodeshim is not like Mayim. Therefore, it's not Makshir. Your question, Zvi, is, and you're just extending the question, which is, if by Chulin there's no Sheni Lishlishi, you're saying even if there was a Sheni Lishlishi by Chulin, who cares? It's not relevant because Shlishi Lituma does not prevent you from eating it. So why is there a problem at all? So the first answer is, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rabbi Barvuach, Ocha b'chulin, shelakhan b'kesef ma'aser askinan. We're dealing here with chulin that were purchased, used money of Maaser Sheni to purchase the animal. Ukadilo Rabbi Meir. It's not like Rabbi Meir, which we'll see in a second. It's not. We have a Mishnah that has argument in which Rabbi Meir's position obviously will not work out over here. And that is, Kol ta'un bi'at mayim midivrei sofrim. Anything that requires going to the mikveh midrabanon. These are gzeirot midrabanon that require make you tamei, and you have to go to the mikveh because of them. Mitamei et kodesh uposele et chuma. It makes kodesh tamei, because what it means is basically you have a level of sheni l'tuma. In kodesh, you can go to shlishi and then revi'i. So if something touches this sheni l'tuma, it'll become a shlishi, and then a shlishi can be mitamei or revi'i. So that's called tamei. On the other hand, posele et chuma, by chuma, you can only reach shlishi l'tuma. After Shlishi Lituma, it's not relevant by Truma. Over here, you're dealing with the Sheni Lituma. So when you're talking about Truma, if it's Metame something, it becomes a Shlishi. And then a Shlishi can't pass on Tuma. The code word for something that can accept Tuma, but not pass it on, is Pasul. So by Truma, it'll be Pasul. By Kodeshim, it'll be Tamei. Tamei means it can pass on the Tuma. Umutar b'chulin u'b'maser divi Rabbi Meir. This is obviously why Rabbi Meir can't be the author of this position now, which is that Chulin and Maaser Sheni are on the same level, and they are Mutar the Gamrei, meaning that the Takanat Durabanan, these Tumah Durabanan, is not relevant to them. Chameh Mosrim B'Maser. Chameh make a distinction between Maaser Sheni and Chulin. Maaser Sheni is also problematic when it comes to those Tumot Durabanan. So Matki Flav Reb Simi Barashi. Mimai. How do you know that's the case? I mean, how do you know that's the position of the Chachamim? Dilma Adkan Lo Pligi Rabbanan Leid Rabbi Meir. The Machok between Rabbanan and Rabbi Meir is Elo Bachilat Maaser. That's why I'm about Achilat Maaser Sheni. When it comes to eating or the consuming of Maaser Sheni, we're going to say to you, you can't be Tamei Tuma Durabanan. That's going to prevent you from eating the Maaser Sheni. Aval b'digia de Maaser v'achilat d'chulin lo pligi. When it comes to the touching of Maaser Sheni and the eating or the consumption of chulim lo pligi, they won't argue in that case. If that is true, all right, it's a problem for our Mishnah, because our Mishnah is talking about Negiyah. We're talking about Yadayim Su Avot. We're talking about Yadayim that are Tameim. A Sheni L'Tuma. If they're a Sheni L'Tuma, according to the Chachamim, maybe they could even touch the Maaser Sheni. The problem is that we don't want you eating the Maaser Sheni when you have this Tuma D'Rabbanan. V'ha Negiyahi. And we know that we're talking about Negiyah in our Mishnah. Mi'ktani Nechalim B'yadayim Musavot. Talking about hands that are Tmeot. Milo Askinan D'Kasafile Chavrei. So Gemara says, aren't we talking about a case here where his friend is placing it into his mouth? So into the mouth, meaning that you have a person who's Tahor. And a person with the Yadayim Tmeyot is feeding this to the Tahor person. So the Achilah is being done by somebody that is Tahor. But the problem is the Negiyah, the person coming into contact with it, has a Sheni Lituma. And that's what we're worried about here, contact. And maybe by contact, even the Chachamim would agree to Rabbi Meir that it's fine. Maybe their issue is only by Gabe Achilat Maaser Sheni, not by Negiyat Maaser Sheni. So that's our first attempt at an answer. I mean, aside from the Gemara's attempt first with Kodoshim, here's our first attempt at answer that we said it's Maisu Sheni. The Gemara rejects it because it may not be we have an author to that position. Sure, Rabbi Meir cannot be the author of that position, but maybe the Chachamim, who even we consider to be the author of that position, maybe they don't disagree enough that we can have them be the author of such a position. Right, I hear you. The Breita is ambiguous, and so all Rabbi Simi Barashi says, how are you so sure that the Chachamim's position disagrees with her, maybe it accords with Rabbi Meir with regards to Negiah? I could suggest that. It would fit into the bright, the Mishnah that we brought, even though maybe it's not the first thing that would come to mind. It's still readable in the Mishnah if that's the case. You really don't have a proof that the Chachamim believe that there's a problem of Negiah by Maaser Sheni. So now we have an alternative answer. Lama Rav Papa. Hocha b'yadayim tchilot askinan. We're talking about a case where the yadayim are rishonim l'tum'ah. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar hi. And this is according to Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Now remember, we just said before that usually when you contract Tumah d'Rabbanan, or you have a problem of Tumah d'Rabbanan, we're talking about a Sheni l'Tumah. Your hands are generally classified as a Sheni l'Tumah. For hands to be a Rishon l'Tumah, that is an interesting case, and that's why I say it's Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar d'Tanya. En Yadayim Tchilot l'Chulin. When it comes to Chulin, Yadayim are not classified as being a Rishon l'Tumah. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Meir, Mishum Rabbi Meir, Yadayim Tchilot l'Chulin. No, when it comes to Chulin, they are classified as being a Rishon l'Tumah. Ushniot l'Tumah. On the other hand, when it comes to Tumah, they're classified as being a Sheni l'Tumah. I don't get this. How could it be, according to Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, that tchilot tchulin in the Tumah lo? That why would you ever have a situation in which you make yadayim tchilot, a rishon l'tumah, when it's reference to tchulin, but you only make them a sheni l'tumah in reference to Tumah? That makes no sense. Tumah is more chamor. It should have at least the same level, if not even a higher level. So how could you make them rishon by tchulin and only a sheni by Tumah? So the Gemara says, oh, hachi kamar, this is how to understand it. That tchilot af l'chulin, they're considered a rishon l'tumah even for chulin. Shniyat l'tumah in the chulin lo. But when your hands have a din of sheni l'tumah, then they will affect tumah. They won't affect chulin. That means if the yadayim are classified as being a rishon l'tumah, they will affect both chulin and tumah. That's empirically true because we know if you have a rishon l'tumah, you can have a sheni l'tumah, and sheni l'tumah applies even by chulin. On the other hand, if your hands are sheni l'tumah, when it comes to a Sheni l'Tumah by Chulin, it's no longer relevant. By Tumah, it will be relevant. Umi ika yadayim tchilot. All right, you set up the framework, but now explain to you, how do you ever have a case where your yadayim are rishon l'Tumah? Where it says, I have a case. Tanya, hichnis yadav lebeit hamenugah. Somebody put his hands into a house that has a tzarat, a house that has tzarat, that has been nidon l'tzarat. Yadav tchilot, divi Rabbi Akiva. Yadayim become a rishon l'Tumah. That his hands are like a standard problem. When you only have a problem of hands, they have a din of sheni l'tumah. The kuli alma, everybody here agrees, biyah b'miktzat lo shmei biyah. Going in partially is not the same as going in entirely. If you went in entirely, your entire body would be tameh. We wouldn't just be talking about your hands. So the fact is that your placement of your hands does not drag the rest of the body along with it. V'hocha, the machlokas is b'gzeri adava to gufo, kamif legay. They're arguing about a case of whether your body, we're worried about your body going in after your hands. If we say your hands can go in because be of a mixed lo shmei biyah, that your portion of coming forward is not enough as if you brought your whole body forward. But if you said it was, then you'd be tameh legamre. If you say it's not, then you're tahor legamre. Chamin were goes there on your dime that to be tameh, so you won't continue to push your body forward and go into the house. Marsar v'yadav ki gufo. That they made exactly like his goof, Shavinu Rabbanan. The Rabbanan made it equal to his goof. And his goof, if he went in, would be a Rishon L'Tumah. Umar Savi Yadayim Ki Yadayim Da'almo. They're like regular Yadayim or Gzerot of Yadayim anywhere else where the Chachamin is. So Shavinu Rabbanan, the Chachamin made him into regular Yadayim, Yadayim in any other situation considered a Sheni L'Tumah. So that's the next suggestion, that our Mishnah is authored by Rabbi Shimon Malazar. Rabbi Shimon Malazar says you have a case where Yadayim could be a Rishon L'Tumah. If a Rishon L'Tumah, they are relevant by Chulin and making it into a Sheni L'Tumah. Mar says, but look, like Rabbi Akiva. Why are you establishing the Mishnah like Rabbi Shimon and Lazar? Why don't you take the position of Rabbi Akiva? Rabbi Akiva is the one here who argues that you can have Yadayim Tchilot. Mar says, Hani mile b'truma b'kodoshim dechamire. Rabbi Akiva might be only speaking in truma and kodoshim that are chamur. Aval u'chulim mishniot avion. When it comes to chulim, maybe they're only a sheni l'tuma. So Mar says, v'lehavion na mishniot. Okay, so fine, they're sheni l'tuma. Because if Rabbi Kiva, if you go to Shita To, he believes that you can make a Shlishi in Chulin. This is from the Gemara, the first parak in Pesachim, at the end of the first parak in Pesachim. Ditzan, over there we have a Mishnah. Bo Bayom. Bo Bayom, like we have anywhere else in Shas, is on the day that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah became the Nasi. And they deposed Rabbi Gamliel, and they put him in Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, and they opened up the doors of the Beit Midrash, and everybody came in. And on that day, they were Shoneh Masechet Ediot. So on that day, Bo Bayom Dorash Rabbi Akiva, V'chokli Cheres Yitma. It doesn't say Tamei, Lo Ne'amar Ela Yitma. Right? Tamei means it itself became Tamei. Yitma means that it can pass on the Tuma to others. The Tamei Acherim. Sounds like you can be passed on the Tuma. Limeid ala kikar sheni, shehu oseh shlishi b'chulin. From this you learn out that you can have a sheni make a shlishi in chulin. So if that's the case, why didn't he suggest that Rabbi Kiva is the author of our Mishnah? Forget about going to Rabbi Shimon Elazar, you can make Rabbi Kiva the author. The Gemara says, Dilma, hani mile b'tuma deoraita avu b'drabanan lo. Maybe Rabbi Kiva's statement, Rabbi Kiva's position only applies to tuma'ot deoraita. Over there, he's willing to first extend a sheni into a shlishi. But when we're talking about dinei d'rabbanan, maybe he doesn't think he can make a sheni into a shlishi. Therefore, that's why he didn't pick Rabbi Kiva as the author. So Amar Rabbi Elazar and Yoshaya, this next suggestion of the Gemara, which would seem to us to be the most obvious suggestion of how to solve the problem in the Mishnah, is Hakav Chulin Shnasu Atarat Hakodesh Askinan. We're talking about Chulin in the Mishnah, and we're dealing with Chulin, but Chulin that someone practices to keep Atarat Hakodesh. That he's makpid on himself to always be tahor, so that he can be ready to eat kodesh anytime he wants or come into contact with kodesh. So he does that even with his chulin items. Udulok Rabbi Yoshua. This is not like Rabbi Yoshua. Tanya Rabbi Ezer Omer Ochel Ochel Rishon Rishon Sheni Sheni Shlishi Shlishi. Someone who consumes a piece of food that is a Rishon Letuma, the individual who consumes it becomes a Rishon Letuma. If he consumes a Sheni, he becomes a sheni. If he consumes a shlishi l'tumah, he becomes a shlishi l'tumah. Problem that we're worried about is that you're going to put this tamei food in your mouth, and then simultaneously you also put in truma into your mouth. The two foods will come into contact and be tameim. So we worry about that. So what are the chachamim were gozer in these instances? That if you consumed ochel that was tamei, they were gozer that you became like the ochel. If the ochel is rishon, you become a rishon. Ochel sheni, you become a sheni. On the other hand, Rabbi Shua Omer, Ochel, Ochel, Rishon, Visheni, someone who consumes something that's a Rishon, the Tumah, or a Sheni, the Tumah, Sheni, he automatically becomes a Sheni, the Tumah. Shlishi, someone who eats a Shlishi, the Tumah, he's Sheni, the Kodesh, he becomes like a Sheni by Kodesh, Vein, Sheni, the Tumah, but he cannot become a Sheni, the Tumah. Bechulin, Shnasu, Al Tarat, Al Tumah, and we're talking about here a case, Bechulin, that we're done, Al Tarat, Al Tumah. Al-Tarat Truma in Al-Tarat Kodesh Lo. Shlishi the Tuma we're talking about here. How did you get the Shlishi the Tuma? You had the Shlishi Tuma because we're talking about Chulin Shnasu Al-Tarat Truma. So that's how you got down to a level of Shlishi the Tuma, even though you're dealing with Chulin. So what do you see from this? Al-Tarat Truma in Al-Tarat Kodesh Lo. From this you see that he only thinks that you can get to a Shlishi the Tuma in Chulin Shnasu Al-Tarat Truma. But if you did it Al-Tarat Kodesh, it would not be a Shlishi the Tuma. Because Kasavar Chulin Shnasu Al-Tarat Kodesh Leipan Shlishi. You can't get down to that third level of Tumah.
And that is why Rabbi Elazar suggested that Rabbi Yeshua cannot be the author of our Mishnah based on the suggestion that he's making that it's Kulin Shenaseh Al-Tarat HaKodesh. Because Rabbi Yeshua believes that Kulin Shenaseh Al-Tarat HaKodesh can't reach the Shlishi, the Tumah, which is relevant to our Mishnah. The Gemara says, is that really true? Maybe we can come up with a solution that also works for Rabbi Yeshua.
So the Gemara says, okay, if that's the case, Valukma, let him be the author. Let Rabbi Shua be the author of our Mishnah. But just say that our Mishnah is talking about Chulin Shnasu Atarot Truma. And Rabbi Shua is the author. Why are you suggesting it has to be Rabbi Eliezer? Lo Saka Datko. You can't do that. Diktani Basar. Our Mishnah is talking about meat. It's talking about Shchita. When you're talking about meat, what's the relevance of Tarata Truma? Tarata Truma is relevant when you're talking about fruits and all other items like that that could be Truma. When it comes to meat, why would you need a Tarata Truma? Dibetruma basar mi'iko. When you're talking about truma, basar is not relevant. Elamai b'kodoshim. So what are you going to say? No, he's doing al-tarata kodoshim. Chaya b'kodoshim mi'iko. Well, our Mishnah is talking about a shochet of chaya and behema. Why is chaya relevant in our Mishnah, especially with tuma, if you're saying he's doing al-tarata kodesh? Why are chayot relevant when it comes to mash and asel al-tarata kodesh? The Mishnah says, no, basar b'basar michlof. No, he will keep basar al-tarata kodesh when it comes to chayot. Because their meat could get mixed up with the meat of the behemoth. And therefore, you will keep it al-tarat kodesh. But basar b'perei lo michlof. There's no way he's going to keep something al-tarat truma when it comes to meat. Because you're never going to mix up meat with fruits and the grains. and they're a separate entity, and therefore you won't mix it up, Beit Truma. So therefore you would never be al tarata truma when it comes to basar, but you would be gozer al tarata kodesh. And therefore the Gemara suggests over here, Balukma, you could set it up here in a case of chulin shenaseh al tarat kodesh, and that will be the answer or the solution to the problem. But we will not let the solution to the problem be that you sue it nasu al tarata truma. That you did al tarata truma, and this is the position of Rabbi Yoshua. Because tarata truma is not relevant by basar, and therefore we can't set up that way. And that goes back to suggestion here, that it's Rabbi Eliezer is the author of our Mishnah. And he believes that if Chulin Shenasu al Tarata Kodesh, you can't get to a Shlishi. As Rashi points out over here, the discussion or the argument between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua is when you consume the item, the Tamei item. If you came into contact with the Tamei item, you would not become Tamei here. Because it's too low a level of Tuma for it to affect you in terms of Negiyah, in terms of contact. The only way this Tuma can affect you is through the consumption of the item. So the consumption of an item will bring you to that level of Tumah. All right, we'll stop here.